Hello, listeners. My name is Raj Singhal, and welcome to another episode of Breaking Investment Stereotypes. This episode is brought to you by Multiply.co, where we believe that investing is an ignored life skill. Our mission is to create a platform where people can come learn, share, and collaborate through the right tools. Ultimately, we want your hard-earned money to work for you. Here at Breaking Investment Stereotypes, my job is to deconstruct world-class investors or wealth managers and deep dive into their investing journey professionally, personally, or both. I want to give little guidance on how to use the shows. None of the following should be taken as an investment advice. Please see multiply.co/disclosures for more information. My guest for today is Nimesh Shah, MD and CEO of ICICI Prudential AMC. Nimesh joined ICICI Prudential AMC in July 2007 as the MD and CEO. Under his leadership, the AMC has emerged as one of the largest, most respected and trusted investment managers in India, having contributed significantly to the growth of the Indian mutual fund industry. Over the past 14 years, under Nimesh's leadership, ICICI Prudential AMC has transformed into India's premier investment manager aligned to investor interests and leveraged digital innovations to improve its customers' investment experience. Under his leadership, the AMC has won several prestigious and globally recognized awards from time to time. The most recent awards include the globally recognized Morningstar Award 2021 Best Fund House Debt, the Economic Times Best Brands 2020, India Today Most Preferred Brands. Nimesh has been honored with the prestigious Global Banking and Finance Award for Best Asset Management CEO India in 2017 and the CEO of the Year 2014 by Asia Asset Management. In 2018, he was the elected chairperson of the Association of Mutual Funds in India, AMFI. He is currently a director with AMFI and also serves as a governing council member with ICICI Foundation. Nimesh has nearly three decades of experience in the banking and financial services industry, and most of which has been with ICICI Group. He holds degree in chartered accountancy and cost accountancy. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Nimesh Shah. Hi, Nimesh. Let me start with your career journey so far. You know, it appears that both of us actually have a very similar career journey. I spent 24 years with Bank of America, and if I'm not mistaken, you know, you are in a very similar stage at ICICI Group. So, why don't you tell us about your journey with the institution? How have you evolved with it?
So, I joined ICICI Industry. I joined Industrial Credit and Investment Corporation of India. I didn't join awesome. ICICI.
So not many actually listeners may be aware of what does ICICI stand for. So thanks for telling us.
Once upon a time, it was very common to call yourself Industrial Credit and Investment Corporation of India. So it was a lovely job. I was in Citibank for some time, for a year. And then I moved because the exposure that you get in Industrial Credit and Investment Corporation of India, you could not have got anywhere else. Because of the project finance background. So it was a superb learning because at the age of 22, I think the maximum learning would come out of because you could meet directly industrialists. Because you were the only guys who were giving project finance, you would meet the businessman directly. So the way a businessman and industrialist looked at his business was very different from the way we finance guys looked at it, right? I realized that some of them understood finance much better. I believe that I was a stud in finance. And then I met some of the industrialists and I saw their way of looking at business and then finance. And it was a huge amount of learning, I think, basically from there. And somewhere Mr. Kamath came in 96-97. Frankly, all of us joined ICICI and it was very clear that we have joined ICICI for 1,000 days because you get terrific exposure, right? I'm talking about 93. But then Mr. Kamath came in, he changed in everything. He said there should not be any reason for you guys to go away in 1,000 days. All our seniors would have gone away. All our seniors would have exited ICICI in 3-4 years. So Mr. Kamath wanted to do a lot of stuff. And we were the managers who could execute that because our seniors had already left. So I think we were a very lucky batch. A lot of us, 1 or 2 years senior to me or 1 or 2 years junior to me. We got a lot of exposure in late 90s as ICICI wanted to change things. So ICICI was at a very fast pace, if you remember late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. And we could run with the speed that was expected. And I think a lot of our careers, I think the organizational objectives and the individual aspirations met together at that point of time. And that's what has been always my endeavor, that if we can create that equation, why did a lot of us stay back for such a long time? And now we completely relate with the brand. We are part of, I sometimes say, we are part of furniture and fixture of ICC Group. That we owe everything, whatever we are today, we owe to the group. And we are giving our 100%. And we believe that we are creating a super brand for the future. Okay. I think we have
got a great
company. So we relate, I completely relate with the brand completely. I cannot imagine. So sometimes when headhunters or anybody calls me up for a job, I say, I clearly say that, because I can't say anything else. I'm used to saying from ICICI. Right? So this will be the first and the last one.
I can echo your sentiments. So the same used to happen with me. So actually, and they're very interesting that you moved to Prudential Mutual at a very interesting juncture, right? You're just before the 2008 crisis. So how was it to start an AMC or, you know, working for running an AMC at that time? And, you know, what were key challenges learning post that?
No, I did not start the AMC. The AMC was very well set when I joined also. I would say I got a very young AMC, which was doing a lot of things. I saw an AMC which was extremely aggressive, which had created a superb network and distribution across the country. I had a partner, my executive director and head of investment was Nilesh. So it was a very good equation. From banking, I moved to AMC. So there was nothing better than having Nilesh next to you as a CIO. So I saw very, what I and what my endeavor in 2 years time, what I realized that, and that financial crisis came in. I remember in August 2009, I went and told Mr. Kamath, there were a lot of changes in regulations. What the regulator was doing, he was making it a very pure product for the final investor. He's cut down the upfront fees, etc. So he created a lot of people were cribbing big time. So I remember I went and told Mr. Kamath that this is what the changes in the industry has happened. And it is cutting the distribution remuneration in a big time. So at that point in time, his first reaction was that, is it good? I said, it's good for the customer. The customer product is becoming very pure. So it is good for the customer. So he said, let us, and business will slow down because people are under a shock that why should they continue this business? So that meeting was very, very path-breaking for me, because we decided in that meeting that we'll create these are the bad times for the industry. There are headwinds in the industry. So let us bear the headwinds. And when we come out of the headwinds, we should be the strongest AMC in the country. We recalibrated the whole business. We said we'll have a relentless sales department that will continue. But instead of having on the investment side, will become very, very boring and conservative, right? So 2009 onwards, if you see the way ICICI has come up with products, I do not want an AMC which will give you the best returns in town. We don't promise that. We are trying to create an AMC which will make the least mistakes. I think we have got a super brand with us. As long as we don't, and the AMC business, I love this business. I think this business will keep on growing in India for years to come, because we Indians are still at a deposit giving stage. If you see even last year, Indians have given much more deposit than they have given to the mutual funds. So I feel that's a great opportunity. We are only 1/5 of the banking industry. So though I'm a bank sponsored AMC, I still say that we have got lots of business to be taken out from the banks, right? Because the banks have got 5 times the money. We do not have to create new business. We have got good products which are good for the customer. We have to only convert the bank. If I define my business that I want to convert all this money sitting in the banks, if I can bring it to the mutual fund industry, because as a country graduates, as we cross the $2,000 per capita income, the depositor of today will become an investor of tomorrow. That transition will happen. So that is already happening in the country. The depositor is becoming an investor. And what better, and the regulator has created over the last 10 years, created a very, very good environment that the product is very pure, right? So with a pure product and an infinite market of moving, the banking industry is 5 times the mutual fund industry in India. So if I only convert that people, the depositors into investors, our job is done. We do not have to go and look out for new savings. We have to convert. So we create products which will give limited downside to the customer. I don't think the Indian customer wants, one of the things that the Indian customer wants is consistency in performance, which is not possible, right? With the volatile stock markets that we'll have, consistency in fund performance is actually a myth, that but the customer wants that. So if you mix equity and debt, that is where you will give a lower downside to the customer. So we are in the business, I've defined my business that I want, do not want to create a huge upside for the customer. I am happy to lose lesser money with him. I think over a long period of time, if you lose lesser money, you will do well. So Indian customer cannot take big losses. I think 99% of the customer cannot take big losses. They might say whatever they want to say when the losses happen, whether it is an HNI or retail, they all behave in a very similar way. So we should, and he will always be pro-cyclical. So we have to address a pro-cyclical customer. When the markets go up, he'll come to invest. And when the markets turn down and his NAV goes down, he'll blame the AMC. So we are fully prepared for that. We have to be prepared for that kind of environment. That's what I've designed my AMC for.
Hey, very interesting, actually. You know, I think it's Charlie Munger who said that, you know, where, tell me where I'm going to die and I'll never visit there. So, you know, the fact that you're talking about, you have to make less mistakes, you know, gels very well. Actually, let's you know, get some market views here and broader market views. You know, markets at all-time high, especially, you know, the small and mid-cap index. So would you like to share the house view, specific, any specific sectors or general broader view you want to talk about?
See, this is the central bank created rally all across the world. It has got nothing to do with India. So India right now cannot do much wrong. If you see where we are in terms of last 5-7 years, profitability has not grown. So business cycle wise, India looks good, right? The business cycle wise. But is it already, we can keep on having that discussion for the next hour, 1 hour, whether it is already baked into the valuations, etc. So it is not a cheap market. Right. So I'm saying as far as base is concerned, India is in a good business cycle mode where things can only improve. Our banking system is completely cleaned up. If I start from the banking system, I think commodities and all that is back into commodities, that super cycle that one is talking about. You being a fixed income person, you can share your views on that. Actually, we played the commodities cycle. Our funds were not doing well in 2020. In 2020, we are roaring. Last 6 months, 9 months, we are roaring. Because our call on commodity has gone right. It was more of a fixed income. It was not the equities guys. The equity guys were helped by the fixed income guys to take the commodity call. That's the reality. Manish Pandey and Rahul Goswami helped Naren to fructify the commodities call, and Naren played it. Naren took a bold call on commodities and that has played out. So I think we are in a commodity super cycle. We are business cycle wise, India is doing well because whatever had to be written off, the banks have written off. They can look forward to doing some clean business. Even after COVID, we don't expect huge amount of credit losses that can happen amongst the top banks in the country. The banking sector still has got lots of market share to be taken out from the government banks. But the top private sector banks, the top four private sector banks, I think it was superb run because still the private sector banking in India is only 30%, 70% is government. So that transition will keep on moving, whether it is in the life insurance space, whether it is in banking space, whether it is in general insurance space. Only we don't have that luxury. Only the AMC guys don't have the luxury of taking out market share. So it's a good spot that the Indian financial sector is a strong financial sector, a strong industrial sector, and FMCGs anyway has been doing well. But this has to be seen in the light of the current valuations, which have run away already based on what the central banks in the world have done. So a lot of discussion has happened on that already, so I'm not elaborating that further on that. So with the central bank led rally, we are closely tracking where the unemployment rates in US are going, because we believe the unemployment rates and the interest rates in US environment will change. So will US, I am not an expert on that, but we are keeping a close track on what is happening in US, because when the US market, if and when the US markets react, markets across the world will react. And so India in a business super cycle, or in a good business cycle, and commodities market in a super cycle, industrials have not done well at all. A lot of government companies have not done well in India, right? So 10 year, a prominent power producing company in the country is at the same valuation or at a lesser valuation than 10 years back. they've got super dividend yields. Forget everything else. The government companies, the dividend yields are fantastic. So over a period of time, the power producing, the company is so huge and produces so much power for the country that there is no country, there is no India if that country does not do well, that particular company does not do well, which is producing more than 50% of power in India. So there are super opportunities available in the government sector also. I think all those sectors can get re-rated as the business cycle improves in India. So we will keep on debating, and I won't have the answer on when the US reaction will come. So whenever it comes, we'll see. So as I told you, we don't want, so we are trying to come out with a lot of conservative products for our investors. And we are promoting so that if there is a shock, I give lesser shock. See, I'm in the business of giving lesser shock. I don't have to be absolute. We are relative players. So we should do better than others. We should give, even if a market tanks, we should give it lower losses than others. Then we should be okay.
Yeah. Well, very interesting, actually. And, you know, that's a, you know, a good segue to my next point, which is, I think you guys decided to take a call that you will only advertise conservative products and even return money, I guess, when you thought mid-caps became risky, which is very interesting. I mean, you know, I don't think not many people do that. So maybe, I mean, you know, and we all know that investing is a lot more to do with behavior, right? It's 80% behavior. Zoll Amphi's slogan around mutual funds say has really helped the whole mutual fund segment. How do you, you know, take this into account, you know, in terms of the investor education? How do you guys look at that part, of, you know, if your conservative approach?
See, after 14 years in this business, I've realized how much ever I go and talk in the world, people are not going to look at past performance and only going to come in.
Yeah.
So while we keep on saying past performance is no indicator, etc. So SEBI is getting us to do a good job, and we are doing a good job of continuously informing the customer. But sadly, customer is going to be pro-cyclical. So I have come to the conclusion, there is a lot of psychology as you referred to. So customer is going to remain pro-cyclical. So for till I retire out of this company, I know I have to design a company where the customer will be pro-cyclical. And I expect him to give maximum money when the markets are at the top. So that will continue. How much our education, even 2 years back, 3 years back, 5 years back, since last 5 years, I've been trying to tell the Indian customer, every roadshow of mine, every interview of mine, I've been trying to tell that don't, in a credit fund, don't chase returns, because the incremental, and it's very easy to talk to you and your audience because you are a fixed income person all your life, that incremental risk in a credit fund is always more than the incremental return that you go get, right? The risk is never fully priced in India because there is too much competition. So never go for yield. A higher yield is worse off than a lesser yield. A lesser yield product, I have not been able to sell this concept, right? Since last, I won't say I have wasted. I'm continuing wasting that time, but I keep on telling customers. Last 1 year, after one of the AMCs, which was giving 2%, this particular AMC always used to give 2% more of a return than what we would give. And customers would all want, I have, in every roadshow of mine, I have said, more return is coming because of more risk. Do you want to take that incremental risk? Incremental risk is much more than the incremental 2% you are getting. People wanted 2% more and they went over there. And now people are crying for all of it, right? That's what is happening. So this environment will continue. Nothing is going to change. So we are very clear. We need to clear a set of products which are counter-cyclical. I take the money in July 2021. Mm-hmm. I'll take the money in August 2021 because that is the only time people will invest. It is impossible how many of our roadshows you do in May 2020, right? People don't invest, right? People mm-hmm. freeze. People freeze in May 2020. So behavior has not changed from December 2008 to May 2020. Behavior is exactly the same, right? So the markets froze in December 2008. Markets froze in May 2020. How much ever you tell people in May 2020, that the COVID is not going to be permanent. At some point of time, it will go and the markets will bounce back. People will not listen to you. So it is money will come in July 2021. And in July 2021, you have got the responsibility because you are running a brand, right? The brand has got huge responsibility in doing the right things for the customer because the brand does not have only AMC. It has got an insurance business. It has got a banking business. So if a customer goes, I think ICICI Group has got a huge responsibility when it is coming out with an AMC. A customer having a bad experience in the AMC will stop banking with you. That is the kind of responsibility that I hold. So I always tell the CEO of ICICI Bank that I may not be that material in your scheme of things. Now we have material, but earlier I used to say, but we can really damage the brand. If we have got an aggressive investment department, we can damage the brand big time, because once a customer has a bad experience with his own investment, he does not like the brand after that. So how do we manage that? How do we manage a brand in this kind of a volatile environment? That is the biggest challenge for us. And that's why we have introduced in India dynamic asset allocation. I would say that we have created dynamic asset allocation in this country, where as the market goes up, we reduce exposure. And now we don't have one product. We have created 7-8 products in that segment, that as the market goes up, the central philosophy is, as the market goes up, we'll keep on selling. And as the market goes down, we'll keep on buying. If you believe that India will always be 2 steps forward and 1 step back, and that's how we'll continue our journey, then this is a brilliant strategy to do. You don't give the entire upside to the customer also, right? The customer may not get the entire upside, but you are protecting his downside. And that is what has worked for us. And our positioning in the country, that has worked brilliantly for us, because then 84% of my business is from the existing customer. So if such a huge business is anyway coming from the existing customer, what do I need to do? I need to not create a dissatisfied customer. So if I don't have a dissatisfied customer, my business will continue, and that's what is happening. The same philosophy, see any of my interviews anytime, I keep on repeating the same thing, that we are in the business of not giving dissatisfaction to the customer. As long as we have created this dynamic asset allocation, or you create even equity products, which are relatively more conservative, and you go and market only those. See, we are a supermarket. We have got every product that is possible a customer will have with us. We have got every sector fund we would have got. But have I ever gone? My FMG fund has done very well all over the years, but I've never gone and marketed that. So there are a series of sector funds available. So now what do you do? Now we have come with a fund of funds called thematic advantage fund. I'm saying, how do I protect the customer? Because I don't want the customers to go into sector funds and then not exit at the right time and then blame the brand. So now we are saying, you, instead of you taking a call, where you will take a call after results returns have come in, that's the worst way to invest in a thematic fund. But look at the thematic fund. The flows in thematic fund come after the sector has done well, which is very thematic fund. You have to take a call when it is in the dumps, when the sector is in the dumps, but that will not happen. So what I've done, I've said, let's create a fund of fund. So we have created a fund called thematic advantage fund. ICICI Prudential thematic advantage fund. You take the money in that fund, and based on your view on which sectors will do well, you allocate it to various funds. So the customer gets the same charge. In that same charge, we can play the sector game for him if he wants to do that. If he does not want a diversified fund, and if he wants to play a sector game, it is tax beneficial also, because every time you go in a sector and go out of a sector, you don't have to. So a lot of such things are being done, because I am, as you mentioned in your question, I am creating this AMC knowing fully well that the customer will be pro-cyclical and I need to protect. So there is a supermarket.
No, very interesting, actually. I mean, you know, I really like this idea about the fund of fund. And, you know, I mean, of course, people can save taxes as well. They don't need to move around. Let me move into the next one. And, you know, this is around. So we have seen globally, right? Passive funds have been huge and they've really grown big, you know, vanguards of the world. But it's a very small segment in India, right? Now, I don't know, it could be because of function of different demographic or... So we would like to understand from you this whole debate around passive versus active investing. And I'm sure you guys must be doing that in your house as well.
So since 2008-2009, we have stopped debating. In 2007, when I joined this industry, no fund manager came and told me that it is going to go, what is going to happen to the world. So I don't debate. I'm there everywhere. So we have created a supermarket where there is active, where there is passive. Right. Mm-hmm. So let the world, let India, and I believe that what is happening in the world will happen in India also. Passives can become bigger. So if passives can become bigger, can it be a good business? It can be a very big business. Right. So I am fully prepared. We have got a separate brand in passives. We are one of the, as far as retail is concerned, we are one of the biggest guys last year who got money, and the big brands will get money over there. I'm saying that as passives grow, right? So passives, will it grow? Will it not grow? Why debate that? Right? You should be there in active also. You should be there in passive also. So the only product introductions that I keep on doing, I've got a great product suite on the active side. There's lots to learn from the Western markets on the passives. So we have created a whole department which only learns from the Western world on passives and creates those kind of products. We have got a great belief in smart beta products, create those kind of quants and create those products. So we are doing that. Smart beta, there is good margin. Maybe passive does not have margin. If you become extremely boring and you don't apply your mind, then you don't earn margins. But if you apply your mind and create some smart products, then you can get command margin over there. So create your own algorithms. You have a separate quant department within your company. So we have done that. So we have got a long shot also, which is doing very well. We have one of the best long shot funds in the country. Yesterday only we celebrated for it. For 2 years, I ran it at 100 crores, right?
Okay.
We ran it as a pilot for years. Now we are growing long shot. We are very confident that after paying 43% tax, in that you will get the maximum tax rate because it's you have to pay the huge amount of tax. So after paying such a high tax also, the customer has got a good deal. And I and Naren were the first investors in that long shot strategy also.
Okay.
So right from passive index, in passive funds, ETFs, index funds to long shot to diversified funds to sector funds, whatever you want, my supermarket has. But I will keep on my target segment is the retired school teacher of Guwahati, right? Yeah. I have to create an AMC for the retired school teacher for Guwahati. So whatever is right for him will be in mutual fund space, right? Any of my mutual fund, the responsibility on us is that the product should be right for that guy. So mutual fund space should have those conservative products and anything innovative that we want to do, which can be high risk, high return products. All those strategies are done in the alternative space. And I believe that is set to grow. So PMS AIF also, we have got Anand Shah from the market. Normally, ICICI Prudential believes in manufacturing fund managers. We don't hire fund managers ready-made from the market. We have got a whole 35 analysts are sitting in ICICI Prudential itself. Right? Mm-hmm. They are, those analysts grow into becoming small fund managers, they become big fund managers. That's how the growth of fund managers in ICICI Prudential has happened till now. But for alternatives, we have got fund managers from outside. Because that's a different skill set. And we are okay to mix some outside blood also with the born and brought up in the AMC.
Yeah. So, one of the problem, and a lot of people come and say, there are so many funds to choose, and you mentioned quite a few funds here, and can get really complicated for normal investors to choose because there are so many of them. So how does one can look at that? Is there a way to simplify the choices?
I am, as you know, with the way we have run our careers with big brands. So I'm a firm believer that a brand like ICICI, right? Yeah. Even if I were not working with ICICI tomorrow, I am a person, I'll give you an example. One of the fastest growing brokerage houses, the promoter of that place came to me. I'm talking about 2-3 years back. And he was saying that I'm coming with this one. I could see the fire in him. Where he said, and I could see that brokerage house will grow big time. But in 10 minutes, he told me that you are never going to do it. You will never do your brokerage account with me because I will give my demat only to a big brand, right? So yeah. I have run my personal career that way, where I will be associated with a big brand only, right? So the whole. I think this is a business of trust at the end of the day. Somebody is giving you money, right, to invest. So whatever be the products, right, I have the, if I get into the customer's lens, right, there is a set of customers who will go on tracking performance, past performance. The only message that I want to give to the people who are hearing this, do not track past performance and invest. Don't give money to ICICI Prudential. Because this year our performance is very good. Last year also our performance was bad, but we were equally good, right? A good fund manager cannot be consistent per fund performer. This is a mythya that a fund manager has to be consistent. A good fund manager is supposed to take a call on the markets before the world has taken, right? So after he takes a call, it will take time for the world to understand and then take the call. So how can he be consistent? He will have to bear the pain before he gets success. So good fund manager will always have to bear the pain before he gets success. He has to be patient and he has to wait it out. He cannot wait to buy. It's called momentum buying. He cannot wait for the stock to go up to start buying. Right? When you are dealing in size, a good fund manager cannot wait for the stock to go up. He has to also buy at the on the way down. Not only, in fact, you can build positions in the shallow Indian market only if you buy on the way down. If you buy on the way up, you'll never be able to create those positions. So a fund manager who's good at managing 1,000 crores, 2,000 crores, cannot simply manage 10,000 crores. You would have seen in the Indian markets, a lot of guys who can manage 1,000 crores well, when the size becomes bigger, they are just not able to manage. And I think I have met a lot of them, right? I have met of them, we interview people, so we keep on meeting people. See, they don't realize what has hit them, that he was doing brilliantly well, he was buying on the way up and making a lot of money for his investors. Suddenly what has happened, that he complains about the market is so shallow. Because the market is the same as it is when you are 1,000 crores, but when you are 1,000 crores, you have to buy only 20, 30 crores. Now, when you are 5,000 crores, you have to take a position of 200 crores and you are not able to do it because your earlier way of buying and selling is going against you. So that realization, I have seen a lot of fund managers struggling with that. So I believe that when a fund person is choosing a product, I think ultimately it's a bias. You can say that it's a bias, but I have led my career that way and I have led my investment that way. I will go only for a big brand when I have to lend my money to somebody. If I'm giving, parking my money with another person to manage, I think the governance structure of a big brand is something that I would always look out for. So that's a, that you can say, I'm not saying that small guys who do not have a brand are not good fund managers. They may be very good. There are very good fund managers. I agree to it, but still I have got a huge bias in the long run. When I am parking my money for 10 years, 15 years, I would want to stay with a big brand which has the capacity, and I won't look at the, even when a fund manager changes, I don't get, because I only look at whether that brand has the capability to attract the best fund managers in town or not. Today, when you are giving money to ICICI Prudential, suppose my fund manager quits, right? Do I have the credibility in the market and the brand in the market to recruit the best in the country, right? And the size. See, ultimately, when I give a proposition to a guy to join my company, what do I tell him? A guy who's doing good work with 5,000 crores of money outside, what do I tell him? You come to ICICI Prudential, you'll be managing 15,000 crores, 25,000 crores, 35,000 crores, first year, second year, third year, right? Yeah. So my ability to recruit the best in the country is what you should see, rather than seeing my past 1 year track record. My past 1 year track record can be because I took a call on metals, and metal call in, suppose in 2019, I took a call on metals. 1920, I can't do well, right? So Naren as a fund manager had taken a call on metals, on telecom and on power. So only the metals calls has come right and has beaten index, everything he has done. Only one call has come right. The other two calls have still to come right. So do not only track us. See our long-term track record. Don't see our short-term track record. See our long-term track record and take a call whether these guys can manage scale, whether this guy can manage business. If they can do manage scale, then you park your money with us. We'll do a good job.
So actually, another subsequent question to this one itself, you know, the fund managers, market judge the fund managers, as you rightly said, they look at the performance, which is monthly, quarterly. And because of that, you know, usually the fund managers are forced to track the index very closely. So how does your leadership encourage active management of the fund? And you picked on some of them anyway, so I'd like to know more.
So what we have done, we manage around 1,80,000 crores in equity. Totally, we manage around 4,50,000 crores. Out of that, 1,80,000 crores is in equity. So and this is not today. Even if you see my presentation 7-8 years back, I started talking about this when we crossed 50,000 crores of equity, that we can't be a single AMC. I have seen a lot of AMCs in US. Once a year, I make a trip to US. I and Naren both separately grow. Every 6 months, we go to US. And we study and meet a lot of people in US. Every time you go to US, you learn a lot of things. So I have learned one thing from US. They manage real scale. And how they manage scale. They are not one AMCs within the company. Within the company, I'm not naming those AMCs. But see any of the top AMCs in US. They are not one AMCs. There are many AMCs within the AMCs. So that's what we have created. Today, we are six AMCs within ICICI, the Prudential AMC. There is a Naren who is the CIO, but within under him, there is a structure. There is a Anish, who's a very disciplined macro thinker. So the type of funds that we have given to Anish are ones that match his style. And he takes very different calls than Naren. There is Prakash, there is Harish, there is Rajat. So there are different styles within a AMC. Five different styles in mutual fund side itself. Six style is Anansha style. So all of them are very different, right? Naren will take a call on valuation. He cannot buy expensive businesses, right? Anansha is okay to buy expensive businesses as long as he likes the business, he likes the management. Valuation will come third in his list. Well, for Naren, valuation is extremely important at what value is going into. So within the AMC, you will see complete different portfolios. Pick up different funds of mine, which are managed by different fund managers. You will see very different folios, different portfolios.
Strategy, yeah.
Right? So that is one basic thing that we have done, that we will not concentrate, will not have concentration of views to happen. Right? So there will be different views. Somebody will buy expensive business, somebody will not buy expensive business. So the, and there are differences in styles as to how you manage, what is the orientation, which sectors you like more at different points of time, whether you are a bottom-up guy, whether you are a top-down guy. My mid-cap fund manager will say, I have got nothing to do with top-down. Don't talk top-down. Anish and Naren will talk about top-down. The other fund managers will say, we have got nothing to do with top-down. Don't waste your time in top-down. So that's So that's one thing that we have continuously learned from US. So when I used to meet AMCs in US, I used to ask them, 10 years back, I used to ask them, what is the style that you have? And they would ask, which style do you want? Right? We have got one unit at San Francisco, another unit in New York, another unit in LA, another unit sits in Hong Kong. And all of them are boutiques, which have done very well in their own this one. So after some time, they start buying out the boutiques.
No, I think that's that is what I was looking for. And in terms of, I think that's a very interesting way to look at things. And I mean, you're right that people out there in US, they know how to grow, right? BlackRock's of the world have grown from literally very small to about like 5 trillion now, right? I mean, so same organization within 10 years. So let's come to the three trends, I am seeing in the asset management industry. And one, you picked up one initially that you said asset management industry is still 1/5 of the banking. So that is one. How do you see that growing? So that is one. Secondly, we are seeing, this whole surge of millennial investors, right? So do it yourself, culture. How do you see that growing? And the third one I would want your pick your brain on is all the new age fintech, right? Zerodhas and Navis of the world and, trying to launch their own AMC, trying to disrupt the way they have disrupted the stockbroking itself. So what's your view on all these three trends? So, as a small part of the banking still, how does it grow? The millennials do-it-yourself culture and the whole new age fintech.
So let's take by one by one and you intervene with the questions. Otherwise, I will go all over.
Sure. So,
the first one was on banking.
Small part of the banking still.
So I think rest of India, there is a different world where Bombay and Hong Kong are talking right now. And your investors are a different set of investors, which are very evolved investors, right? So that is a different world. But the rest of India, but that's a very small part of the whole. So I'm a long-term investor myself. And most of the people, I want to have investors like me who come into the, fill it, shed it, forget it. The Hero Honda campaign that we had seen when we were in our school.
Yeah.
So that is one type of business. But there are a set of Indian investors who feel that they can time the market. And they try to do that. So we have got all the products for them. They can decide on their own. Digital is a very, very interesting place. And it's a huge opportunity. Look at the under-penetration in India. And digital is a huge penetration. Digital is a huge opportunity. Like everybody says, but especially in the mutual fund space, because the product is very plain vanilla product. Product is very easy to explain. Right? So, your set of customers can come on ICICI iProtouch. We have got an app called iProtouch. I'm very proud of the app that we have created. And every 6 months, it is a completely better and better. We are improving every 6 months. The app is very different from what it was 6 months back. So that app will improve even 6 months down the line further. We are today doing a complete revamp of the app. And it has been always acknowledged as one of the best apps in the country. So customers can directly come on the app. I think digital is a great opportunity to have a great brand and great digital proposition and a great marketing tool. All three come together and the bigger brands have got huge opportunity. So I think customers like you who are listening to this can come directly from iProtouch. I believe we are ICICI Prudential Risk Management Company. We are not ICICI Prudential Asset Management. Asset management is all about risk management.
Yep.
So, and I love the new fintechs coming in. They are keeping us on our toes, but I think we have huge amount to gain and they are welcome. We should have many more AMCs. We have got only 44 AMCs. Should have 144 AMCs. Because the new people will come and innovate and will keep us on our toes. So more people are welcome. It's a fantastic business. You don't have to put much capital also. So new people should come in. And they have their natural advantages. So I don't have a problem with new people coming. More people should come into this business. And anybody who does well for the customer will do it. That's so 84% of my business comes from existing customer. So ultimately, wow, you do good investment management. If you do good, so it's an investment management business. Incidentally, we have to be in distribution also.
Yeah.
So good that new people are coming in. 75% of our business is also digital. We are as digital as any of the smart guys coming in. So interesting times.
Yeah. One more question I asked in between. So this is like this whole DIY culture, do it yourself, you know, people actively managing their own single stocks. You know, you've seen so many Demat accounts open and this whole rise of small case as well, you know, the basket people are making that's kind of, I see that as a bit of a competition to the mutual fund. What do you think of this?
It's a good development. They are doing business development for us. Okay. Way I look at it. Because you have seen so many cycles, right? We have seen 2000, we have seen 2008, right? So let one business cycle come and then we'll know who's naked in the market. But I think the brokerage house is doing a fantastic job. They are bringing in a lot of customers into the market. They are doing direct equities. You know, whoever has done direct equities, after some time, what has happened, right? Yeah. We have seen 4 years in our careers, both of us, we have seen the difficult period of 94 to 99, 90, 94 to 98, 95 to 98. That time was very difficult. Nobody has seen that time, right? So let us see one Mandi. Then we'll see how many of the active and every cycle, even in 2000, what has happened to the active traders. Even in 2000, we have seen how much money is wiped out. So I've got a friend, she trades in equities quite regularly, right? Mm-hmm. So she's always on asking somebody what to do. She's got nothing to do with fundamentals and she makes very good money, right?
Yeah.
So even my fund managers know about her, that there is one person that Nimesh knows who makes very good money in every bull run. But by the time the bull run is over, she loses all what she has made also. Consistent, that's even 3 times now. So because she will ask Kirit buy, she will ask some buy or the other at some point of time and keep on buying and keep on making a lot of money. She makes, so in today's kind of market, she's making again a lot of money. She made a lot of money in 2019. She was beating all my fund managers, right? Without knowing anything about fundamental analysis, she was beating my fund managers in 2019. In 2020, she lost all her money. In 2021, again, she's making a lot of money. So they will continue. So I am saying all this good thing. They are doing their semi-KYC also. So tomorrow they will be able to buy mutual fund very easily. So I see a great development. If you can do direct equity yourself and consistently do well, please do. But if you think you need an expert to manage that for buy equity calls for you, so after 10 guys, 6 guys will come to us over a period.
Okay, so that's interesting.
I'm thankful to the brokerage houses to doing business development for us.
Free of cost for you. So I believe you are a very strong believer of asset allocation. What will you suggest for a young guy who's in his early 30s? How should he or she look at the asset allocation?
See, I have got a personal bias. Whatever I have made today is because of equities, right? I always invested in equities. So I am a long-term equity investor who has not redeemed much in life, right? I invest and I forget about it and it has done well. So till young people who are going, keep on earning, they can have their, create their core equity portfolios. And it is, I think today's young people, I just met a young architect. In the her first year, she has saved 5 lakh rupees. She came and told me that somebody told her mutual funds will not make much money. I should do direct equities. I said, do you know anything about equity markets? She said, no. But if I give it to mutual funds, I'll never learn. So I said, fine, do one thing. Somebody has told you what to buy. So she said, yes, my broker has given me this list of 10 stocks. So I saw the list of 10 stocks. They were all prime companies of India. They were very good companies. So I said, see, there are 2-3 banks over here, which are very good bank. They are the best banks in the country, but they are very expensive. So like this bank, every stock in your portfolio is a, they are the best companies of India, the best FMCG companies, the best banks. So that person had done that. He had given the her 10 stocks, two very good FMCG companies, two very good banks, the best banks in the country. So I told her, you can do one thing. I won't tell you do this or do that. You've got 5 lakh rupees, 2,50,000 rupees, you invest in this 10 stocks, 25,000 rupees each. And 2,50,000 rupees, you give it in ICICI Prudential Focus Fund. Right? ICICI Prudential Focus Fund will not buy those expensive stocks. They're very good companies, but they will not, it will not buy those very expensive stocks. Right? So you put 2,50,000 a year. After 3 years, we'll see.
Okay.
So she's done, she has actually done that. So
okay, interesting.
Young 23-year-old, my son's friend. So she has done that from her first year's income. So it's a very good, it's good that a young architect is thinking that. A young architect, her first year's earnings, she's thinking that. So I was quite happy with her thinking. She has done both. Let her decide over a period of time what is good for her. So if she, and after 3 years, I tell her, if you know these companies, then you can invest. But without knowing companies, you can only invest in this blue chip, the bluest of the blue chips that you're investing. But focus blue chip will do better than that.
So we'll know in 3 years time. Probably we'll do another podcast at that time after 3 years and look at what happened to her. Let's come to the global equities. You know that investing in global equities is becoming hot. But you know, it's very intriguing that probably there is only probably one or very few mutual fund investing directly overseas, and mostly it's been fund on funds. Basically, you know, you created a pass through fund where you know investing in some fund globally. What's your thinking on that?
See, we had come with a international fund in 2008, right? Okay. It was called ICICI Prudential Indo-Asia Fund. That 65% will invest in India and 35% in rest of Asia. That fund bombed. It never did well, right? Then we had to close out the fund or something like that. In 2012, we came with US blue chip fund. Look at the timing. Just before our currency at 48, 49 currency, we came with a current account deficit. See, again, macro thinking of my CIO that we are running a huge current account deficit, 2012.
Yeah.
Right? We were running a huge current account deficit. We came with a US blue chip fund. Right? We cannot stop patting our backside saying that we did a great job of coming with a US blue chip. I did 30 roadshows across the country. Right, and we collected 52 crores in that. That's the worst performance. Because there was no past track record. No, in 2012, US equities had a lousy past track record. After that, in 2 years' time, I think it gave a fantastic performance because rupee dollar also gave a lot of money. Plus, US market started doing well. So I think we were way ahead of time at that point of time. We were not able to convince the world. But now the HNIs are warming up to. But for that, India has to go to a big mandi. For international investment, India ne mandi nahi dekhi. Right? We have not seen a bad cycle in India for a long period of time. Equities more or less have given return to people. Even if you see a person who has invested in 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, he has made money. Right? So, but I think it has come, that phase has come that we should seriously think. I am creating a separate department within the company to look at only international investing. So we have got our US blue chip fund, which we launched in 2012. We still have that. We have got a global advantage fund. What we have created now is a very interesting phenomenon. We have said we are having a fund of fund, global advantage fund of fund.
Okay.
We are saying that in this country you have got lots of international funds. Let us not take, let you don't take a call which global fund to invest in. Based on macroeconomics of that country, if we select the prudential guys in London once had told me that if you select the country right, you make 90% of the money. Right? We have to educate that to the people in India that country selection is the most important thing. Which fund manager you select within the country is not going to make a difference. Which country you select is going to make a difference. So for that, instead of you guys selecting the country, and taxation is very bad, right? I have gone and invested in Russia sometime back. Through ICICI, I had to open an international account in ICICI Direct and then buy a Russia fund over there in that site, right? Mm-hmm. It was, but instead of doing all that, but I had this some international guy telling me that Russia is undervalued, please buy Russia, right? Mm-hmm. But instead of that, if you give money to us in global again a fund of funds, which will invest not only in our international funds, which will invest in international investment funds by Templeton also. So I have got a global advantage fund, which will invest in the best of international funds available in India. Taxation wise, it's very good. If you go and invest in international funds sitting in India, taxation wise, it's not good for you. But if you invest in my global advantage fund, and in turn, we'll take the macroeconomics call that which country to invest in, whether to right now to invest in Hong Kong markets, in invest in Japan markets, invest somewhat in US, because you don't know US can still do well. So we have got allocation within that. So if you go to our fact sheet and see the global advantage fund that we have got, it's a fund of fund, four or five funds it has purchased within the fund. I think that's the best taxation efficient route. You get two things. You get my CIO Naren, who will be taking the country allocation calls. I think he's better equipped to take that calls than individuals taking that call. Right? And I am investing with my competition only, so there is no So, and on top of that, you get a tax efficient structure. So international investing is should stay in India. We are tying up with a lot of firms across the world to bring international products into India. And you will see it this year only, 2-3 products will be launched.
Okay, that's great. So now let's come to, we are coming towards the end of our conversation. So let's come to some personal questions. So what is the one thing you like doing after the day in the office has ended?
After the day, whenever the day ends, Netflix.
any interesting thing you're watching?
Around 7-8 o'clock in the evening, I just switch off. I don't care whatever. Right? Nowadays, so you watch only the yesterday fight. The tennis match was very good. So now there are a lot of sports after. So after 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, at some point of time, mind gets tired. I stop taking decisions. I think after 7 in the evening, I stop taking decisions. I go for a walk and then I watch some TV.
Yeah, that's interesting. Any life ideal or investing ideal you want to talk about?
Any
life ideal, investing ideal you have, anybody you look up to?
Common sense.
Okay.
Come to my office, there are lots of quotes everywhere, which have been Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett, usually the predictable ones. But those guys have put a, and what I like about them, those quotes that they have, which all of us have read over the last 15 years, they're so commonsensical.
Yeah.
Most of the good quotes are very commonsensical. They don't have any jargon in them. They're completely commonsensical. So those are the quotes that are pasted all around the office, which come on the internet quite regularly. Uh-huh. I don't have to do anything new. And I think investing, I think it's more of common sense and more of your temperament, right? Everybody knows finance. Everybody sees the same business. So business understanding or finance understanding to sabke paas. Which people are bet on, right? Mm-hmm. Which people are bet on your temperament, right? When you buy, what is the, what kind of, when you have got conviction and you buy, how much will you buy? How much you size up the portfolio? I think sizing is something that the Indian investors have to learn better. A lot of my friends say, I took this call earlier, commodity call. Sure. When you gave a commodity call, I also took a commodity call. Kitna dala? Right? Some 2 lakh rupees in, which is an insignificant part of his portfolio, he has put over there. And he's so happy. Uh-huh. See, so some big guy has already mentioned, I don't remember who, that it is not important whether you're right or wrong. It is important how much money you make.
How much?
When you're right and how much.
So George Soros was very famous for that. Yeah.
So all these big guys have given very commonsensical quotes. So yeah. Those quotes, I love those quotes. And one, if one implements even 5% of those quotes, you'll make big money.
And this is one question, and this is the last one. I asked every one of my guests, so what will be your message to your own 20-year-old self? So if you were 20-year-old, what will you tell based on your experience so far? Could be generally career, investing, anything, you know, could be anything.
I will tell the 20-year-old Nimesh Shah, what I'll tell him, that don't have very strong views.
Okay.
Right? No need to have very strong views and believe, because your own views change over a period of time. I have seen my views over, if I see the last 20 years, I have seen my views changing over every 5 years. Right? So views change over a period of time. So what was the point in having a very strong view earlier, especially in investing? Don't have very strong views. Meet people. C.K. Prahlad told me once, I had the privilege of once, when I was around 35 years old, he told me to go and meet, I had just become a general manager, I'd gone into the general management at ICICI, and he told me that people whom you don't relate with, have a lunch with them every week. Right? He saw that I had strong views in life. So he told me, go and have lunch with people whom you don't relate with at all. Once a week, you should do that. And I think I implemented it to a great extent. It has helped me a lot. Anyway, views change over a period of time. So no need to have very strong views.
Actually, it's a very interesting. And, you know, I'll say this is one of the most interesting answers I have so far I've heard. So I really thank you for that. With that, you know, we come to our conclusion. So, you know, Nimesh, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us. I'm sure our listeners are actually going to learn a lot from our conversation. So thanks a lot.
Thanks. Thank you.
Hey guys, this is Raj again. A few more things before you take off. If you really enjoy this conversation, please do like, share, and subscribe on podcast.multipie.co. It's MULTIPIE. You should also check out our Twitter handle, which is @MultipieSocial. It's again MULTIPIE SOCIAL, where we put up interesting stuff about investing. This includes our popular Multipie Weekly, which includes all cool things we have found or we ponder upon over the week. If you want to receive all of this on email, just go to multipie.co. It's MULTIPIE.co. Hit subscribe with your email address. See you next time.